Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the press. This is our second show of two this week. We're going to talk about the Players' Championship a little bit more in depth. We're going to talk about some derivative bets in terms of places. We'll talk about just kind of thoughts and philosophy on hole-in-one prop bets, particularly around 17. We'll talk about some matchups and nationality bets, and then we'll get into LIV Golf Singapore, which is the only other event of the week. Everybody else cleared out the schedule, except LIV Golf, which decided, you know what, we're going to compete against the Crown Jewel of PGA Tour and see what we get. So let's get in back into the Players' Championship based off of our first episode. Again, Players' Championship played on this Players' Stadium course at TPC Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. This is a Pete Dye design from 1982. We're going to talk just for a few minutes about a couple changes that I think are worth noting. We talked about in the first episode, but just a couple more. 7,352 yards, 77 yards longer than last year, par 72. Watched an interesting video today from the tour about their renovation of the sixth hole. They made it a little bit longer, and we talked about that. But what they also did was restored the look of the overhanging tree that Pete Dye put in place when the golf course was originally developed. It was designed to kind of get in a player's head as a tree you were almost certainly never going to hit, but one that you could conceptually hit as a professional golfer. Over the years, that tree grew, and it grew to the point where the guy who actually redid this work, Davis Love III, went to Commissioner Tim Fincham and said, hey, you need to take this thing down. They did in 2014. Kind of destroyed the myth of the hole a little bit because that was the obstacle. That was really it. I mean, the mounding there around the green is kind of tricky, but in terms of tee shot, second shot, there was really nothing left. So they took a tree from about 100 yards away, unrooted it, put it in a big root ball, rolled it down on these. It's a fascinating video. Put it back in place. It's a fuller tree. It is definitely in the way. It is definitely in the players' heads. I would have no doubt about it. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens on the sixth hole. It is, once again, a difficult hole just because of that tee shot. $25 million purse, $4.5 million to the winner, 750 FedEx Cup points to the champion. And just as a reminder of our top 10 for our model, which is available for our members at golfnewsnet.com. We'll get back to that in a second. Again, betting odds to win, just so we establish who the favorites are. Scottie Scheffler, 11-2, looking for a three-peat. We never had a two-peat, never had a repeat champion in this tournament until last year. Kind of hard to imagine there's going to be a three-peat, given that Scheffler still kind of seemingly playing his way into it, but is playing good golf. And I think we should underscore that, is playing good golf. Just think he's unbettable. McIlroy, 10-1. Morikawa, a lot of people love it, 16-1. Ludwig, 18-1, past champion. Justin Thomas is 20-1. Then you start kind of getting into some guys that, I mean, you get the world number two at 28-1. Obviously, he's playing his best golf at the moment. Still figuring out things after that injury. Decky, 30-1. Some other guys that a lot of people are on. Wyndham Clark, Daniel Berger, Sepp Straka, Shane Lowry, Jason Day even, a popular pick this week. So then compare that to the model top 10, which we went over on our first show, available free to our members at golfnewsnet.com. And here, full list available to our members at golfnewsnet.com. Scheffler, Schauffele, McIlroy, 1, 2, and 3. Not surprising. Hideki, number 4. Ludwig, 5. Colin Morikawa, 6. Tommy Fleetwood, who never wins in America, 7. Shane Lowry, 8. Russ Henley, 9. Patrick Cantlay, 10. So with all that in mind, what else can we talk about this week? We talked about odds to win, which is obviously my favorite kind of bet to make when watching a golf tournament. Whether I love doing a pre-flop, love doing a pre-tournament. Do it sometimes on a Saturday or a Sunday. Credit to the guy who had Joe Highsmith a couple weeks ago, I believe at the cut, bet him, what, 1,000-1? I don't know what the number was that, you know, the currency he put down on it, but that's not something I would think about. So kudos to that guy for figuring it out. But I do want to look at some matchups here. We don't typically talk about matchups on this show. I don't tend to favor looking at matchups. I just think for the number of days you are locking up the money, in my case, I do four-day matchups. I don't do single-round matchups. I don't like that. I know there are folks who do. Keith Stewart, who does Read the Line, loves daily matchup plays, and he can kind of parlay those over to kind of get decent numbers. If you can go win four rounds in a row, then you're going to make a decent amount of cash compared to a 5 or a 10 bet, even way better than a 20 bet, and you're going to get somewhere close to a live number for a leader on a tournament-winning bet. So I understand the philosophy. It's just not for me. But I do have some matchup plays this week that I do like just based on my ranking system. I like Hideki Matsuyama to even money against Russell Henley. These are all three over at DraftKings right now. You can probably find other numbers and matchups elsewhere, but these are the ones I'm harping on. I think Henley's going to be gassed after having won at API. Matsuyama's been in the top six here the last 2 years. He shot a 63 here in 2020, with all the crap that was going on around COVID. He likes this golf course. You cannot convince me otherwise. I'm going to play him. Nick Taylor, -105 against Davis Thompson. I know he's a variable player. Lots of weird things happen with him. It's either all good or all terrible, but I tend to believe he's going to have a good week this week. And I tend to like his chances better than Davis Thompson. No offense to him. Just doesn't do it for me. And then the last one I'll bring up is Minwoo Lee, +110. Nice positive plus number for him against Denny McCarthy. And the reason I said that in our last episode is McCarthy just struggles off the team with driver. It's hard for him to get in place in this. He is playing good golf, but I don't think he's playing so much better golf that Minwoo should get a plus price. So this is more of a principal play than I think he's, you know, Minwoo Lee so much better than Denny McCarthy kind of play. I think they have strengths and weaknesses. I think this is a misprice. I like Minwoo Lee on the misprice. Let's talk a little bit about some place bets this week. Again, based on guys we talked about in the first episode of the week. Top 20s all. I think you can get decent prices on these guys. Top 10s don't feel like it's worth it to me. I think it's win or 20. Some places are going to offer you a 40, but I would go win or 20. Because of the variability of this golf course, because you either have it or you don't. And if you look at 4 or 5 year windows of guys who have won here, and look at even Scottie Scheffler, like win-win, miscut, something else. Rory McIlroy, similar way, like win, miscut, decent, T11. It is hard to be good here year after year. So why put yourself through the blender of trying to get a 5 or a 10 in there when you know top 20 is a really good week, and if you're a great player, there's a decent chance you miss the cut just as much as it is that you win. So why wouldn't you just kind of meet somewhere in the middle? It's not quite the middle, top 65 in ties, but at least you get some positive money, you get some plus money on a top 20 finish. So that, with that said, I like Sepp Straka. I have him in a win bet, but +210 is a nice little hedge. Michael Kim, I will not bet to win because his number I feel is too short. He's playing great golf, but he's got one win on the PGA Tour, and he's playing the best golf of his life right now, and those things are very far apart in terms of when he won at John Deere and when he's playing his best golf of his life now. 85-1 is too short for me, but +250 on a top 20. All right, I can get behind that. Jason Day, top 20, +240. I don't think I'm going to bet him to win pre-flop. I'm 95% certain I'm not going to do that. However, reuniting with Colin Swatton, playing good at Bay Hill. He's done it here in the past, albeit in May, in a much more difficult, different setup. I like what he's got here. He played well at Torrey Pines, another tough golf course with deep rough, 4-inch rough this week. I think this is a worthwhile play at +240. And then Carl Phillips, we talked about him in the first episode of the week as a potential long shot play. I think this is a smarter play to look at him at a top 20. He's got the game to be able to do well here. First-time players don't do well here historically. It is very hard to do well here your first time. It's just a weird course to learn and figure out. But I think he's a talented enough player that he can get into the top 20 here at a nice price of +550. So I'm going to be on him for that top 20 bet. And then let's talk about a couple props here. There are going to be a lot of prop bets here this week. Not for me, but you're going to see a lot on the board. Depending on the book, you're going to see stuff. Will there be an ace on 17? The last 5 or 6 years, I'll even go back a decade. They have made it a little bit easier to make holes in one. These guys are so good, and they haven't had a super windy tournament. And I don't think they're expecting one here this week. The conditions are going to be fairly soft. I think there is room for a hole-in-one. I just hate betting hole-in-one bets, whether there's going to be one or not, whether a certain player is going to do it or not. I think that's a foolish bet. If you did want to bet that there would be one, I would probably play the yes. You're still going to get a plus price, but I think that's kind of a fool's errand. I do like winning margin bets, and we haven't talked about it much on this show. We have in prior years. We talked a lot about winning margin numbers and tend to do really well on those. I tend to look at two numbers, and I try to pick one or two, and depends on the tournament. Some tournaments have a rich history of playoffs, right? Or close finishes. And then you kind of look at one in the playoff. I like to look at either 1-2 or 1 in the playoff. This week, I'm looking at 1 or 2. Now, yes, it's going to be a wash if 1 wins and 2 doesn't. But I get a little ahead if 2 does. And this is kind of typically the range in which you're looking. Just in case you're curious, playoff is like +225 or something like that. Or +3. Yeah, it's not a great number. And this tournament doesn't have a tendency to go to a playoff. For whatever reason, the 16, 17, 18 finish kind of just has a way of sorting it all out for you. So I think 1 or 2 is interesting. if you just wanted to play the two, that would be fine, or just play the one, that would be fine. This isn't quite arbitrage. You can't come out ahead, but you could come out a little ahead if two wins. You could come out not a loser if one wins. It's worth it for me. I like it. I just enjoy it, but I'm making the argument for either bet. Top South American player is kind of interesting to me. It's a group of like seven guys. Johnny Vegas is the favorite. And there's a bunch of other players in this, but I like Nico Echeverria at plus 240 here. Just playing the best golf kind of the group, really, in my view. And I think the SEC connection kind of helps a little bit, maybe some more experience here. Top Asian player, I think, is also worth a look. Again, relatively small group of guys, six guys, I think it is, in the group. But you give me a Hideki Matsuyama plus 280, and you're playing against a Benon and a Siwoo Kim and a Sungjae. I think I'm gonna take the chance that Hideki Matsuyama not only plays well overall, but he's the best Asian player. If I like him to win, then why am I not gonna play him to bet this, you know, win this group at plus 280? It's just kind of a hedge bet on Hideki winning the tournament, which I'm gonna have, or maybe some positive extra money if he does wind up winning and he's the best Asian player. So I think that's worth a look there. And you can try to correlate those if you'd like. You want to try and correlate this specific bet at plus 280 against him to win, which is 30-1. You could try to do that if you really want to get interested in hedging about that kind of thing. I'm not that scientific about it, but if you want to get interested in such a thing, that may be worth a thought as well. And then let's just turn our attention for a few minutes to LIV Golf Singapore, third year for this event, one of the few events on the schedule that's been a part of the LIV Golf schedule each of the years of the LIV Golf League. You've had two different winners of this tournament, and they had a champions dinner, fairly honest night, which I think is hilarious and kind of cute in a weird way. But then Brooks Koepka and Taylor Gooch had dinner together because they're the two champions of LIV Golf Singapore, Sentosa Golf Club, which actually hosts the LPGA as well, just did a few weeks ago. So this place has been used recently, hosted a couple events in less than a month span. But I think there are three plays worthwhile looking here, because if you look at the results of both years, you see three names commonly atop the leaderboard. So you look at 2023, you see Taylor Gooch won. Sergio Garcia was in a playoff. He wound up losing that playoff. Brooks Koepka was third, shot out of the playoff. Cam Smith was T6. Then you look at 2024. Brooks Koepka won by a deuce over Cam Smith, who was fourth, Taylor Gooch. So I kind of see some similarities here. Gooch is not playing as well as he has been, and that's fine. That's why you're getting him a good 45-1 number. Koepka 14-1. Didn't seem to be all that enthused about the dinner, but he did the dinner. And then Cam Smith at 18-1. I think those guys are going to try and make a little bit of a statement against the Players' Championship. Like, hey, look at us. We're still relevant. There apparently have been talks going back into the fall about possibly inviting some top LIV Golf players into the Players, and then they scheduled this thing against it, and that all went to hell. So maybe there's a little bit of reverse revenge factor here from the LIV Golf boys. They're like, well, if you're not going to invite us, we're going to show you. And I mean, Koepka is the winningest LIV Golf player. Cam Smith has not been playing his best golf, but I'm going to take a couple horse for course kind of guys, give myself a chance. I would be interested in Joaquin Niemann. I think he's 8-1, 9-1, somewhere in that range, depending on where you look. But again, I think that's just too short. You're always going to get a random here. You could throw in a Sergio. I think he's too short. I don't mean height-wise. I mean too short of a price. Jason Kokrak's kind of interesting. Mark Leishman's kind of interesting in these types of situations. We almost got there last week with Paul Casey at 35-1, and then he just kind of wet the bed on the final day. So you can get those opportunities on LIV where you kind of get a guy out of nowhere, particularly if he likes the place. I'd be even willing to look at Paul Casey again here, but these are my three plays that I'm going to recommend this week. So that's going to do it for us today and this episode and for the week on The Press. Thank you so much for spending some time with me, whether you're watching us on Golf News Net TV, now available on Zeem, Free Live Sports, Freecast, and on Roku and the Golf News Net app, also at golfnewsnet.com. Catch us as an audio podcast, not only on your favorite podcasting platform, but on YouTube, where you can watch a video version of the Golf News Net channel, or just catch the audio-only version on the Golf News Net radio channel. Trying to give you options if you want to listen to the show instead of just watching the show. Either is good by me. As long as you listen, happy to have you. And you can join Golf News Net for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, $100 for 3 years, over at thegolfnewsnet.com. Good luck with all your bets this week. Hope you have a winning week. Hope you enjoy the Players. And we'll be back next week with a full slate of shows for you here on The Press.